He is the head coach of the Toronto Raptors. He needs no further introduction. He is Dwayne Casey. Hello, Coach. How are you?
Hey, Bob. How you doing, buddy?
Good, pal. So, rarely a news conference takes place without the word defense coming up, and if somebody else doesn't mention it, then you do. And the other night, you come out with a win, score 131 points, but you're not happy with the defense. And then last night, club plays defensively pretty good until the fourth quarter, and then they light you up for 44. But I got the sense that we all have a habit of looking at the total points and thinking, oh, well, then Casey isn't happy with the defense. But wasn't that more about they just shot the lights out?
That's one of those things where, I tell you what, and watching the film today clarified it for me, Bob, and the fact that they made some shots. Kimball Walker had Corey Joseph draped all over him. I mean, if he got any closer, he would have fouled him. He made a tough shot. And that 44, it was disappointing, but a lot of those shots were closely guarded. There's going to be nights like that where you play excellent defense, but the offense is just a little bit better. And that was the case in some of the situations in the fourth quarter. Some of the situations we had some miscues as far as communication, talking on switches, making sure we, switched out and didn't. And again, that's going to happen, but for the most part, like you said, most of the game we played solid defense and they shot the lights out in the fourth quarter.
Is there anything, Coach, more difficult to defend than somebody like Kemba Walker on a night like that when he can just take the ball and just run? It's very difficult, isn't it?
Well, the key is, Damon, he can stop on it. He's super quick. He's probably the quickest guy, more so than Isaiah Thomas.
Really?
With the basketball. And he can stop on the dime. He can go from 100 to zero in no time and vault straight up. And that's probably the most difficult thing to guard in the league. And with that, he's a great three-point shooter. And so, they were smart. We were going to start blitzing in there in the fourth quarter, and they stopped bringing the pick and roll up. They would bring the big guy up, but they would slip him out, and which wouldn't give us an opportunity to blitz him. So, he's just started going one-on-one. But the guy that really started it was Bellinelli. Bellinelli got hot in the same way. He had flashbacks in his younger days, and he got going, and he started. So talking to Coach after the game, they were fighting for their lives. And this is good for us too, Bob, in the fact that we're playing against teams that are still fighting for the playoffs. So these are going to be like playoff games for us, that type of intensity. Even though we lost last night, I think these games are still good for us as far as giving our new guys an opportunity to play against intense defense, intense offense. Just wish Cal was back to be part of this group that way we're building toward the playoffs.
Well, we'll get to Kyle in a second, because obviously we want to talk about him, get an update on him. But I want to make the point. So I watched your game, and then went away from the television for a while, came back on, and I flipped on the Clippers in Washington and watched that game right to the end, because there were a few moments late in that game where it looked like Washington might be able to mount an almost miraculous comeback in it. I'm wondering, did you watch the end of that game?
I sure did. I was watching our film last night and watching that it also. And, again, you watch those games and you just see what teams are doing. And I thought Washington, like you said, they were scratching and fighting. They probably understood that Boston had lost and we had lost, so they could gain some ground at the time. So, but it was a good game. I think, they're hitting stride right now also, with Beal and Wall playing well together. So this is going to be a very interesting Eastern Conference playoff race.
Well, I think it's for me, I know, I don't know about you, Coach, because, I mean, you're a basketball guy and you eat, breathe, sleep at 24 hours a day. But for me, it's just a reflection entirely of the race that's on and the relative importance of where the Raptors finish. Does it look likely you'll get first place in the East? No, but you could get second.
Right.
You could get third, and all those things become important. And I wonder, did you watch last night's game as a matter of course, something you would have done under any circumstance, or is it because we got a couple weeks left in the regular season?
Well, a little bit of both, Bob. And I think to trump all that, I think the most important thing is the fact that we're playing in rhythm as we go into the playoffs. Getting Kyle back, getting the new guys acclimated offensively, understanding on the fly where we can call things and not have to, you know, rely on players to tell them what to do, how to do it, you know, on the court. And the only way you can do that is playing together, getting games in our belts together. And then getting Cal back is going to be another acclimation that we're going to have to go through. So, again, I think more importantly, I think, yes, getting home court is important. But more important than that is we're coming together on both ends of the floor as a unit as we go into the playoffs and not just still trying to find each other as we go in. But it's natural in human nature to be watching the scoreboards, to watch other games, and see what else is going on.
All right, so Kyle Lowry is the question. And I've been asked a lot about it. I got asked Monday during the phone discussions on several occasions. Is it important for Kyle Lowry to get back a game or two before the playoffs start just to let him acclimatize himself with the new guys as well as to ensure that he's confident that he's okay? Do you think it's important?
No question, Bob. I think, I don't know how many games you put on it, but I do think it's important that he comes back and, you know, play with this new unit because we're, you know, we're a relatively new team with PJ and with Serge involved.
Exactly.
You know, we're a new team. We're a different group, different rhythm, a different vibe defensively, offensively. And again, he was the hub of what we did on both ends of the floor, especially offensively. So I think it's going to take, you know, a couple of games or whatever it is, that number of games is for him to, for those players to get acclimated to him and for him to get acclimated to them. So it's one of those things that is really important for us going in. We don't want to go into the playoffs for him, you know, seeing if his hand's okay, seeing, you know, what Serge does on a pick and roll. Does he pop? Does he roll? Where does he like the basketball? All those things we want to figure out. In game situations, and because the other thing is practice time right now is very limited.
Yeah.
And so because the wear and tear is on the body, so it's going to be in those last few games whatever that number is.
would you consider bringing him off the bench, and would that make any kind of positive thing for him to allow him to ease back into the situation? Or if he's back, is he going to start?
No, he's, you know, if you know Kyle, Damian, you know he's not going to ease into anything. You know, he's going to come in full guns a-blazing, and that's good and bad. And the fact that he's not going to come back and be the Kyle that, you know, was shooting the three ball as naturally and easily as he was before he went out, that's why he needs these games to get back in. But, you know, for us to get ready for the playoffs, I think to get our collective units and our rotations down pat a little bit, you know, going into the playoffs. Usually this time of year, you're thinking about resting players or resting guys, but we're in a situation now where we need to get a rhythm once Cal does come back going into the playoffs.
It's funny, you know, I was going to ask you something else, but you brought up resting players, mm-hmm. and that has become more and more a story around basketball. Mm-hmm. Adam Silver sent out a memo a couple of weeks ago, and basically said, guys, we're going to have to talk about this after the season because this is a difficult situation. There's so much science now behind teams demanding that players get rest. I'm wondering, you know, do you have an overall philosophy on resting players, and not just for to help them be better players or to get them rest, but, you know, in terms of what you owe the fans or the viewing audience out there, what kind of team you have to put on the court?
No question. The problem is, Damian, it's a double-edged sword. You know, from a selfish standpoint, you want to play everybody, play every game that you can. But from an organizational, from a player standpoint, who they're human. And like you said, all the scientific and analytical information has come about usage rate and, you know, all this wear and tear, the number of miles that a player has run, you know, that information is available now. So, you know, so players want to elongate their careers. They want long careers, which you don't blame them. So it's a double-edged sword. But from a fan standpoint, we owe it to the fans who pay hard-earned money to come and watch Kyle Lowry or DeMar DeRozan, whoever they feel like is going to play that night. Mm-hmm. And so that's the tough thing that we're facing from a coaching standpoint. You'd like all your players available, but I do also know that, you know, if I can steal a few minutes here for DeMar DeRozan, a few minutes there for DeMar DeRozan to rest, where he doesn't miss multiple games or anything like that, we'd like to do that. Just from a team standpoint, where he's fresh going into the playoffs. But, you know, we're in a tough situation now because we need that rhythm. And whether we play those guys shorter minutes or, you know, not the entire their number of minutes, like DeMar 36, whatever it is, you know, cut him down to 30, 32 toward the last couple of games, we need that. But we do need those guys to play to try to get a rhythm and get acclimated to each other.
Well, I respect that position, Coach, but I would say this to you. What would Pop do? Do you think Pop cares about whether fans paid their money? And I mean, he's going to do what he thinks is best for his team and for his individual players to get them prepared for the playoffs.
I agree. And two, he's in a situation where he has older players.
Yeah.
36, 38 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's the president, general manager, whatever it is. So, you know, but I do think Pop cares about fans. I don't think that he says it would screw the fans. I think he cares about what they think. But like you said, Bob, to trump that, his health, the player's health, is I don't think he's doing it to say, hey, screw the fans.
No, he's not. I'm not suggesting that at all.
Right,
I'm
right.
saying he says, I've got a mandate, and the mandate is to win a championship. Mm-hmm. And if this is the way I believe is best for my organization, the San Antonio Spurs, that's what we're going to do. And I assume he feels some remorse if his key players don't play on a particular night, whether it's home or away, but he's not going to be swayed by that.
Right. Right. And another thing too, we've been in a situation here where we've been building to get where San Antonio is.
Yeah.
To get to that elite level where, okay, we can lose a few games and still be at the top, where, you know, we've been scratching and clawing, trying to get there. And the good thing about our organization, Masai and I would talk about it, you know, we want to do what's best for our players, try to get a balance, and what's best for our fans. And last year, I think we rested Kyle the last few games of the season and, you know, tried not to overdo it or anything like that. But this year, naturally, unfortunately, he's been out. And so what we need to do now is really think about the minutes of DeMar DeRozan of more than anyone else, because everyone else either has been out with injury. You know, JV's been out with some injuries. Pat's been out. So really they haven't played the entire schedule or their total amount of minutes. So, you know, we're in a little bit different situation. But, again, I think Adam has been great about coming out, talking to the owners to see what we can do collectively as a league, because every team and every organization is in a different situation. You know, some are rebuilding, some are building, trying to build their fan base back up. So they're looking forward to having LeBron James come into their arena or whatever to sell mm-hmm. tickets. And when that doesn't happen, you know, then you have repercussions from your fans. So we're all in different situations, but to make things equal, I think that's where the competition committee and Adam and the owners have to make sure they come up with a formula that's fair for everybody.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, but you know, we were contemplating a scenario, and it's very real. It's a very real scenario the way the East is shaping up right now, where the Toronto Raptors playing their last, and this is theoretical, playing their last game of the regular season, fans would rather you lost than won because of the way the matchups would look. And mostly it's, we don't want to play Cleveland until we absolutely have to. And there could be a situation where the Raptors could have that destiny in their own hands. In other words, if we lose this game, then we avoid Cleveland at some point. And now the spotlight comes on you dramatically, because if if Kyle is back but doesn't play, if DeMar rests, if you give Valanciunas the night off, Ibaka, you know, whatever you do, boy, that's going to be interesting.
Well, I tell you what, let's cross that bridge when we get there.
I get it.
Hopefully it's that important. It's going to be interesting to see what other teams do. New York has been eliminated, to see if they play. But we, again, what's important for the Toronto Raptors is us having real competition, just like we had last night. So tomorrow night's going to be the same thing. Indiana scratching and pawing for their playoff lives. I think that's good for us as a unit, as a team, because last year we went into the playoffs playing all of our young guys. And, you know, you do lose some of that rhythm. You lose that shooting, that edge that you need.
Yeah, that's a risk.
It's a risk. It has both sides to it. And I think if you have veteran players who've been there numerous times, who's done it numerous times, like in Dallas we had Dirk Nowitzki and Jason Kidd, who had been to the finals before. They knew what the grind was going to be about, so they could sit out a few games toward the end of the year and still come back and be in rhythm once the playoffs started. So it has this risk, and, you know, definitely there's rewards of having fresh, healthy bodies going into the playoffs.
Just one last question on this subject, because we've sort of got into it. And that's talking about you were talking about the science now behind it, the rest, the amount players run, players wanting to play longer careers. So as the science has really crept into the league over the what, Coach, the last 2-3 years in particular?
At least five years, Damian.
Does that make it more difficult to be a coach, or does the information make it easier to be a coach?
Well, the great thing about it is, along with that information, that we've added, you know, sports scientists on your staff, and, you know, Alex McKechnie is one of the best in the league for us. So they handle a lot of that information, because, like you said, there's tons and tons of information. And if we as a coaching staff spend our time, you know, looking over all the information and numbers that are coming in, we wouldn't have time to talk about pick and rolls and post-ups. But Alex does a great job of deciphering information coming from the sleep doctors, coming from the all the usage of computers and the things, the numbers they get from the chips that they have or information they have coming in. You know, it must feel
like, geez, it used to be easier than this.
It used to be said, let's go play.
Let's go play. Yeah, you're hurt.
It is, but that's the new NBA today, and it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. It's probably going to get even more. But, I think it's good for the game. I think ultimately it builds a good product, because you have fresher players. You have players that are healthy for a longer period of time. And I think that's the ultimate goal for all this.
We don't keep you too much longer, but I got to ask you about P.J. Tucker and his role with this team. When he was acquired, it was perceived that P.J. would be with the second unit, that he would be a powerful defensive force with this team, especially in fourth quarters, but it wasn't likely to start. And through a series of circumstances or whatever, he has been starting a bit. If you had your druthers, would Tucker be a second unit guy?
Yes, you know, just in the fact that you can save his minutes, he's a game changer coming in. He's going to play starter minutes, because he's that important.
I get that,
But if I had my druthers, I'd have a healthy Damari Carroll, you know, playing, starting out the game, and there's going to be a lot of scenarios where those two will play together, where PJ will play those power fours that we've been talking about, power threes we've been talking about, the LeBrons, the Carmelos, and those guys at the four position, and still play Damari at the three. So it gives us a lot of flexibility, Bob, to play different ways, but PJ's been – he's been a godsend for us as far as a defensive captain. He's the guy that's out there talking defensively.
Well, he's changed your defense.
He's changed it. He's more physical. We're a more physical team right now. And he's been a big plus for us. And on top of that, he's knocking down the corner three. So he gives us a lot as far as that's concerned. And he's been around the block a few times. It's not like he's a spring chicken. You know, he's seen a lot. You know. But on top of that, this is his first playoff team. You know, he hasn't been in the playoffs.
Really? Never played in the playoffs.
I never realized that.
It's the first playoff series.
Wow.
So he's excited about it, which is great. It's new to him. He's played a lot overseas, but hasn't played in the playoff series. So he's excited and ready to go to jump into the playoffs.
All right. Last question. Many people would say should have been the first question. And that is, when's Lowry coming back?
See, I knew that. But no, you have Alex and those guys, the doctors and the medical people, will let us know. There's no timetable on it. It's when his hand and his body, and Kyle says he's ready to come back. We're not going to rush it back. And I try not to even ask the question. You know, that way I don't have to lie to you or lie to Damian over the telephone.
You can lie to Damian all you want. Don't worry about that. He won't know the difference.
No, but we don't. You know, we just gonna when he comes back, he's ramped up his work. He's working hard at it, staying in shape and everything. But again, there's nothing like game competition.
Well, so let me ask you this: you see him? He's on the floor. I love the fact that he's with the team all the time and on the bench with the team. I think that's important. And you wouldn't expect anything less, but. You see him working out at least a little bit, maybe a lot. Mm-hmm. Are you confident at all that he'll be able to get those two or three games that you want at the end of the season?
Well, I'm confident he'll get some games in. I don't know exactly how many, Bob, but I'm confident he's pushing himself and the situation to try to get at least a couple of games in. Don't know how many, but he's trying to get back before the playoffs start.
I hear you. Coach, always our pleasure having you on. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay. All right, Coach. Thank you, Damon.
See you soon.
Okay, see you down the road.